You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Stuart Beasley, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Craig Forsyth in the studio. Big day to look forward to as well. It's Haydock Sprint Cup Day. We've also got good racing at Ascot and Kempton. There's Thirsk and Stratford in the afternoon as well, and Wolverhampton in the evening. So a busy Saturday, plenty of top quality racing to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Yeah, good, thank you, Mark. Very good. Obviously, we're gearing up to a decent weekend's of worth of the racing and a big week next week as well. So, with the Ledger and the Ledger Legends race, friend of the show, Dale Gibson, hoping to win the race for the second time. AP coming back into the saddle for that race as well. So,
and Johnny Murta.
Johnny Murta as well, and plenty of the non-legends as well.
Slightly harsh. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that actually. The chance to see AP and Johnny Murta back in the saddle again, it's a one-off thing, isn't it?
It will be good. And we're both off to Ireland. I'm not staying for too much of it, thankfully, because the thought of spending more than one day with you lot is more than I care to think about. But we're all going to Laytown, or a few people from the William Hill are actually going to Laytown and down Royal and Leopardstown. Are you staying on for the Curragh as well?
No, I'm coming back after Leopardstown.
You're coming back after Leopardstown, yeah. On the Saturday. Okay. But we're all off to Laytown next week as well, next Thursday.
Yeah. Should be good.
Yeah.
Keeping one eye on the events at Doncaster.
I'll be in the bar. I'll be in the bar. Keeping an eye out on the weather or the forecast. That's what we need to do. I'll be in the bar having a proper pint. I love Guinness over there.
Yeah.
Can't stand it anywhere else, but... it's a fantastic. They do. It doesn't travel. Doesn't travel. But like Brighton form, doesn't travel well. So that'll be good. So yeah, looking forward to that. I got an email. I asked if my press badge would be able to be used. I got an email back. Let me just find it. I'd be in stitches. This. Here it is. Hi Gary, thank you for your email because I asked to see if my press badge would be okay. We were delighted to welcome you to Laytown this year. Just one small requirement for all press insurance: we need evidence of insurance. Minimum public liability of 1.5 million euros. If you could scan something, get to me, that would be great. I look forward to hearing from you. Kind regards, Paula from the office.
So you need to be insured for
€1.5 million. You know, a laugh, love.
Yeah. She must have seen the name Gary Capewell. Oh, he must be.
Yeah, the flashing lights.
Yeah.
So there we are.
Fair enough.
It just really made me laugh when I got there. Sorry, what time? So September 1st or April the 1st? No.
Yeah, fair enough.
So look forward to that next week.
Yeah, a bit of news before we get stuck into Saturday's racing as well. It's been a week of retirements. It's been a season of retirements, really, or a year of retirements. And the latest of them is Clive Britton. He's going to call it a day at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's amazing to think that he's 81.
Yeah.
But you think about, you know, the history of the yard that he trains in. He was probably one of the first trainers to sort of send horses... horses abroad for victories. I mean, he won the Japan Cup. It was a long, long way back, sort of 1986, when Jupiter Island won the Japan Cup. He's taken Warsan over to win in Germany, won two Grosse Prix von Bardens. Pebbles, who won became the first British runner, to win at the Breeders' Cup. So he's been a bit of a pioneer, always prides himself on getting his horses out first. And you just think it's been a lustrous career. Just go through all the Guineas winners and the classic winners that he's had down the years. Not only just here, but if you look, he's had plenty of abroad as well. He's had the Irish Oaks, the German 2,000 guineas as well, and the Irish 1,000 as well. So he wasn't afraid to travel his horses. And if you just look back, as I say, all those classic winners going back from Julio Marnier in the Leger, the only one he didn't manage to win was the Derby. That would have completed the set because he's got all the other four safely in the bag. Mystico, User Friendly, Sayadati, and obviously Pebbles as well. The 1,000 guineas winner of 1984. So
yeah,
plenty of stars on the way, and it's the test of time because Rosina obviously won the Coronation Stakes. Must have been last year. She's just been retired as well, hasn't she?
Yeah.
But yeah, he's amazing. Those jigs that we used to see from the Master of Carlberg stables, even after after victories, even considering he was sort of in his late 70s when Rosina was, I think it might have been 80 probably when she won the big races there. So yeah, it's a welcome retirement. I'm sure his wife's even more relieved.
Yeah, you mentioned Pebbles is the horse that springs to mind for everybody. She won the 1,000 guineas.
The Eclipse, yeah.
Yeah, she won the first filly to win the Eclipse, first British trained runner to win in the Breeders' Cup as well. Remarkable feat back then, wasn't it?
Yeah, as I say, I mean, you go back even just a few years earlier when he was sending horses abroad. I mean, as I say, when we mentioned Jupiter Island earlier on when he won the Japan Cup. Lusso also won one of the races over there, not the Japan Cup though, so... but yeah, not afraid to travel his horses, and he had the Derby runner up at, and this is one thing you do associate with him, big price winners at in decent races. I mean, Terry Monarch finished second in the Derby at 500-1 back in 1989, was it, I think? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. It was 1989, and he had the course called Semiel, won that race at Yarmouth, the listed race to fillies there at 125-1 a few years ago. So he placed his horses well to win big pots, often at big prices.
Mm. We'll leave that there then. We wish him happy retirement.
Indeed.
Any other news caught your eye before we move on?
Not particularly, no. I think we'll concentrate. We've got some decent races to preview, so we'll crack on.
Let's do that then. Four races coming up from Gary on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
We're going to look ahead to three races at Haydock and one at Ascot, starting in the 2 o'clock at Haydock Park, which is the Superior Mile, a Group 3 over a mile. It's for three-year-olds and older. We do have betting out on site as well. Ivorwood is the 11-4 favourite. Balti Boy's 9-2, 6-1 for Sovereign Debt, 7s for Muharib, and Let's Go, 9-1 for Horse de Combat, and 10-1 or bigger prices for the others. We'll start with Ivorwood here, Gary. Obviously, top class as a two-year-old. Struggled a little bit at three. Is this a chance to get back on winning ways?
I think so. Obviously, this horse was third in the English and Irish 2,000 guineas. Something seemingly was amiss in the Jersey Stakes, but ran in a Group 1 in France fairly recently. Was seventh, but didn't get a clear run through. It was only beaten 2.5 lengths as well at the line. So that was him bouncing back. He's obviously been a difficult horse to place after his decent year last year. He is officially the highest rated of these. Three-year-olds have won two of the last four renewals of this race, and quite crucially, one of those was trained by Richard Hanning, King Taurus, back in 2011. Not going to be easy, though, because it is a good race, and we'll go from the bottom and work our way up. Let's Go. Won very convincingly in July on his first start. He ran as though something was amiss, I thought, the other day at Pontefract. He's well worth another chance, but as I say, this does look a fairly hot race, though. Fanciful Angel won a listed race at Lingfield back in April, then was second in the German 2,000 guineas, and hasn't been seen since finishing in the Jersey Stakes, finished down the field there, been off a while. Slight questions to answer. Sovereign Debt has won a couple of listed events at Shawnee Dandy Nichols, who used to be with Peter Chappell High on this horse. Was third in a race at the Curra Group 3 contest the other day, another one that's entitled to glow close. Muharib has the cheap pieces on for the first time. He started the season when finishing good third in the Lincoln, and then won a listed race at Ascot after that, but he's been pretty disappointing the last twice. He's got something to prove. Master Carpenter won, obviously, that Group 3 race in France last year. He won the Jolly Smith Cup in July. He then finished second here in the Rose of Lancaster Stakes behind a potential superstar, I think. But he disappointed the other day at Windsor. Back here, he might do a little bit better. So another one that's not completely discounted. Horda Combat finished fourth in a Group 2 at Ascot on his most recent outing. James Fanshawe's horses continue in good form. Captain Cat is something of an enigma. He did win this race last year. Balti Boys was behind him on that occasion, but he hasn't looked the same horse this time around and was well beaten behind Cody Bear last weekend. Has to bounce back, albeit coming back here might help. I think the main danger possibly to the favourite, or likely favourite, is likely to be Balti Boys, who, I say, was second in this race last year behind Captain Cat, won at Newmarket in May, has been running in some high-quality handicaps subsequently. And Brian Ellison's booked Sylvester D'Souza, so there's plenty of positives for that one's chances. He will be the danger, I think, but the selection will be Ivorwood in the hope that he can get off the mark for the first time this campaign.
Ivorwood for Gary then in the 2 o'clock. The 2.35 at Haydock is next up. This is the Old Borough Cup, which is a Class 2 handicap over a mile and three quarters. It's for the three-year-olds and older on the market, headed by High Secret, who's 6-1. 7-1 for Battersea. Blue Wave is 9-1 with Pressure Point. 10-1 for Gabriel Starr. 12s for Hassel and Oasis Fantasy. Notarized 14s with Pearl Castle and Nikita. And it's 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. A wide-open handicap, as you would expect, Gary. Who'd you like in there?
Oh dear! Yeah, as you say, this is wide open. I would imagine High Secret will probably be towards the front of the market. This horse won a fortnight ago. Obviously, typical Sir Mark Prescott sort of profile about this horse, the way that he's been gradually campaigned. He's gone up in distance. Obviously, his form has improved. He won at Killarney the other day when Patrick Mullins rode him. Prior to that, he'd finished second at Ascot in, might have been one of the Sugar Cup races, I think. He'd won a Catterick before that. He's gradually improving. This is probably a little bit warmer than the company has been keeping, though. And I think for all that he continues to improve, I think I'm willing to pass him over. Battersea is a horse that I've got a lot of time for. He won a couple of races in Ascot last year. And he hasn't been completely disgraced in either start this campaign. Roger Varian trains him. I think if I'm going to give a chance to one, it'd probably be him, because I still think there's more to come from him. So Battersea is likely to be the selection, but there is plenty of others we can give chances to. The likes of Blue Wave. Joseph O'Brien's been booked for the Mark Johnson Yard. Won at Goodwood back in July, coming off the back of a fairly long break. Ran disappointingly the time after that, but then bounced back to form when finishing third at Chester. If that form can be reproduced, has to have a chance. Pressure Point arrives here in good form. Again, he's gone up in the weights, but Keith Dalglish has improved him all season. He's gone up another £5 for his recent success. He's going for the hat-trick, so he has to be given some sort of consideration as well. It's a really interesting contest. Plenty of horses that have shown plenty to think that they're more than capable of winning a race such as this campaign, and plenty that look fairly well treated but need to bounce back from some of their recent efforts. I'm just going to take a chance with Battersea. I think he's been brought along quite gradually this campaign, and he's going to be the selection in the 2.35.
Battersea for Gary there. Then just nipping to Ascot for one race, the 3.25 at Ascot, which is the Apple Tizer handicap. It's a heritage handicap over a mile and a half. It's for the three-year-olds, and eight of the 11 in the lineup here coming to this racing in winning form. Several of them chasing hat-tricks as well, Gary. So which one continues the form here?
Yeah, well, obviously, I think Dartmouth's likely to be the market leader. Obviously, this horse has won his won its last two outings, won over this course and distance, and then won a race at the Glorious Goodwood meeting. The handicapper has put him up £13 for the last of those successes. Certainly not missed him, has he? I just wonder whether he might be now vulnerable to something that might just be a little bit better handicapped. Roger Varian won this corresponding race last year, funnily enough, with Battersea. He has a runner, of course, in the race this year as well, with Muktaza, who won quite easily, I thought, at Sandown the other day. Steps up in trip, which I think is not going to be any sort of an issue as well. Godolphin have got a decent record in this race, albeit Saeed bin Sarur has been the trainer who's won this twice in the last 3 years or so, with horses that, funnily enough, have gone on to do quite well out in Dubai subsequently. With that in mind, it might be worth keeping an eye on Antiquarium, who finished fifth behind Polarization in the Melrose. Polarization, obviously, in this race as well. He won at Hamilton. He won the Atlantic Bell last Friday night. So he has to be given consideration. She is no lady, has won her last two. She won at Carlisle and then followed up at Newmarket, but this is probably a little bit tougher. Wonderlace was a winner at Lingfield in May, hasn't been seen since. Handicap debut, likely to have a bit more improvement to come. Shell Bay won here and then won at Salisbury on its most recent outing, another one that continues to look quite progressive. Giretto is another horse that's going the right way, but he'll find this a lot harder than the race which he won over this course and distance in July. And You're Kidding won a couple of times earlier on in the season. It seems to run every week. So that would have to be a slight negative with that one. It's wide open. You wouldn't be surprised if sort of six or seven of the field won. I'm going to go with Muktaza. I think he might just have a little bit more improvement to come and might not have shown his hand quite so much as the likely favourite Dartmouth, who, as I say, has gone up quite a lot in the weights following that most recent victory. He's gone up £13. I think that might just be a little bit too much for him to defy.
Moving on to the 3:45 at Haydock next. This is the feature race of the day. It's the Sprint Cup, which is a Group 1 and part of the British Champions Series. It's over 6 furlongs. We have a field of 17 for this year's renewal. A Day heads the market at 6-1, 7-1 for Danzino. Gordon Lord Byron is 8 with Matt Moo, 8-1 also for Twilight Sun, 10-1 for Magical Memory, 12s or bigger for the others. It's a who's who of good sprinters here, Gary. Which one comes home in front today?
It's tricky. I mean, Gordon Lord Byron was second in this race last year behind G-Force. He obviously won the race a couple of years ago. He has to be considered. He's been running so well this season as well. So he has to be given a big positive, especially now there's been a bit of juice in the ground. Obviously yesterday they changed, they're going from good to soft, so any more rain that falls will certainly help him. A Day won a course and distance Group 2 over here at Haydock back in May, won the Hungerford when last seen. Don't think the other one's out of it though. Down at the bottom, the 3-year-old Wardy, who Dane O'Neill now gets the ride for, he's now 5 from 7. He won a Group 3 contest at Sandown when last seen. Paul Hannigan's deserted him, but a good run from him wouldn't surprise. Tiggy Wiggy's been a little bit disappointing this campaign. I think dropping back down in trip will help her, but she has to bounce back from a disappointing run in the Commonwealth Cup, and you just wonder whether those efforts as a 2-year-old are maybe beginning to leave a mark on her. Strathburn for the Charlie Hills yard has been in good form, and I think we'll need to improve a little bit. Matt Moo ran a cracker in the Nunthorpe, finishing third. Prior to that, had won a Group 3 contest. Has to be respected. Magical Memory won the Stewards' Cup when last seen. Goes up into Group 1 company here, but we often find with these top-class handicaps and the group races, there's not a lot of a difference between the two, if truth be told. Soul Power, he's run in this race a few times. I just worry about the trip for him. I think 5 furlongs is much more his bag these days. And then we go to the one I'm going to go for, Danzino, right up at the top. Frankie Dettori taking the ride for the Mick Appleby team. Was fifth in the July Cup when last seen, never near a fifth. as well. He certainly got his quirks, this horse. He probably should have won when he just hung out into the centre of the track in the Chipchase Stakes at Newcastle on his run before that. But he's slowly being brought along to the boil quite gradually. Conditions won't make any difference to him. Mick Appleby's team are in pretty decent form as well. As I say, it's a wide open race. Obviously, we've got last year's winner, G-Force, in the lineup as well. We haven't even mentioned him yet. But he's been a bit disappointing this campaign. But whether this has just been the sole target for him or not remains to be seen. So it's a long short list. G-Force would have to go on it along with Gordon Lord Byron, Wardy Ardy, and Matt Moo. But I'll go for Danzino to come out just on top. But as I say, you can give probably six or seven of them realistic chances. And what, for me, is a pretty open but a good quality renewal of that Group 1.
Good stuff, Gary. As always, let's just have a quick summary as well before you go, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, in the 2 o'clock at Haydock, Ivorwood. In the 2:35 at Haydock, Battersea. In the 3:25 at Ascot, Battersea, Stable Companion, Muktasa. And in the 3:45 at Haydock, Danzino.
Good work. Thank you very much, Gary. Good luck and enjoy it on Saturday.
Will do.
So there you go, the thoughts of Gary Capewell on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. It's Stuart Beasley, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Craig Forsyth in the studio. We've got Sprint Cup Day at Haydock, good car at Ascot, all weather racing with some pattern races on their car at Kempton. It's Thirsk on the turf and Stratford over jumps on Saturday afternoon, a busy Saturday to look forward to. There's also more in the evening from Wolverhampton, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.